अच्छे अपने हक जानने या सलाह लेने आज ही SMS लोअर में कॉल करो 416-655-2000
Community. Good morning, everyone. Namaste, Namaskar, Sitaram, Assalamualaikum, and a very warm welcome to your Thursday morning edition of Shabbat. This is the morning challenger. To assist you with your early morning chores and to put you in a positive and good frame of mind and to also ignite the spark of spiritual inspiration to you and your loved ones. यहाँ पे आप आउट ऑफ बॉक्स के कार्यों से सभी से निकले कर इन मस्तानों को सुनने के लिए तैयार हो जाइए और ये भारी बात अन्याय चंद रोज देख लो इस कार्य में चर्चा चंद रोज अब ऐसे मस्तान के लिए पूछ का सामान कर इस तरह मेरी है बसीरा चंद
Welcome indeed to Shabdam Radio 770 AMWGUR. My name is Richard Aziz and I'll be keeping you company right until 3 o'clock. Hope you would stay with us. And again, we ask you please help us spread the word. Ways in which you can listen simply dial in on 770 AM WTUR if you're in Toronto, WTU area, Brampton, most of Ontario you can get it. It's a powerful signal on the 770. Some part of New York State also you can get it. Also you can simply log on to www.shabnamradio.com, shabnamradio.com, and of course on tune in to our wireless radio. And of course you can simply dial in at 647-557-1017. That's 647-557-1017. Well, this morning, most of us who would have seen the Trinidad and Tobago newspaper, Facebook, social media, would have learned passing or even on Facebook, social media, of a passing on Mirage. Sat Mirage, the Secretary General of the Mahasabha, the Secretary General of the Mahasabha, the General Secretary of the Senatan, the General Secretary of the Senatan, Sarma Mahasabha. A man who have carved out a legacy for himself. Sat Mirage is no longer. He passed away at. Sat Mirage is no longer. He passed away at. He died at the age of 88. He died, according to the release, this morning at 12:01. This morning, 8 days after. We were talking about the suffered a stroke, medical association. He was awarded at the medical association at St. Joseph. And yes, in critical condition, and yes, it is in PGI Mirage now that he was taken off life support. We here at Shabnam Radio would like to extend our condolences indeed. Not only his family, but to the many who have loved him, his work, their lives were touched by his work. All the kids have been made to with them again. more of the Shabnam Radio of Caribbean Show Channel Canberra family on press and go on to and the nation of Trinidad and Tobago as a whole. They have lost great, great soul indeed.
But say the same. Some people could say the same
and add to it a controversial figure indeed. I'd like to remember him as a man who spoke from his heart, stood his ground, and was spoke from his heart for what he believed in, and was fearless in the fight for what he believed in.
Today on Shabnam Radio, we'd like to dedicate memory.
In his loving memory,
going out to Hanuman Chalisa,
going out
to the late
Satyarai Maharaj, General Secretary of the Mahasabha. If anyone would like to fold in and Satyarai Maharaj, pay their respect to the late Satyarai Maharaj, please call at 416-620-1778.
हृदय बसहु सुर
Provide the Brampton Crumb Touring and Visitation Centre provides a complete range of cremation and memorial services with customized exclusive facilities for Brampton Crematorium and Visitation Centre together with HX Crematorium and Visitation Centre. Two facilities building one community. Brampton Crematorium and Visitation Centre at Team Bramwell Court in Brampton and HX Crematorium and Visitation Centre 384 Finley Avenue in HX. Call us at 905-458-2222 and speak to our funeral director, available 24 hours, 7 days a week. In Canada, Zoomers Association of Trinidad and Tobago in Canada invites you to come celebrate their 10th anniversary at their Christmas dinner and dance at the Pile Band Doors on Saturday the 16th of November, featuring Los Amigos and the band of Destiny featuring Turkish Beat. If it's a single proposal, get your tickets now. Call Renault at 416-540-0192.
Again, a special tribute this morning. Pay a tribute to the late Satyanarayan Maharaj. Again, those of you who would like to fill in and share your sympathy, condolences, or share your thoughts and memories on the late quarter, Satyanarayan Maharaj, please feel free to call us at 416-620-1778. Many posts have been made on Facebook and Many posts have been created on Facebook. I just saw one from a good friend and musician, Ravi Prasad. I got a good friend that somehow summarized. I'd like to share it with you because it somehow summarized who this giant of a man was. Today we physically lost a hero, a pioneer, and a giant among men. Sri Satyanarayan Maharaj continued a historic struggle to ensure that the rights and the values of Hindus in the diaspora was respected. Fearlessly he stood strong to give us the right to a Hindu identity in the land that made us at most feel as outsiders. His struggle would no longer end to ensure that we were no longer had to convert or change our Hindu names and faith to get a job or to create proper education and respect. And his contribution towards championing the fight in education and the empowerment of Hindus will forever be remembered. He was one who never compromised the Hindu identity and stood fearlessly in defense of injustice that Hindus face. Maharaj was Hindu. The distraction used by anti-Hindu groups, government alike, as he was used to create disharmony among our loving, growing, and striving Hindu community. And although he was ridiculed by the said community at times, he never retreated in his lion. While men feared lions, lions feared Sam. He stood out and will be remembered as a man before you will think 50 times before you ever considered engaging into a debate, much less into a fight. I was just reading a poster, so beautifully written by Ravi Prasad. Fearless man indeed. What he has done for the community at large, the Hindu community and the community at large, the number of schools that was built, that he carved, the curriculum that he carved, and was always one to stand up and stand out when the time was right. According to our friend, Ronnie of Rotu Rotu, Sat was brutally honest, frank and outspoken person for Hindus. It is unfortunate that some uneducated people misunderstood and were confused about religion versus race. Our condolences to the family. Rotu Rotu, Ronnie. Thank you, Ronnie. Shabdam Radio, 7:70 AM. A special tribute to the late Satyanarayan Maharaj. He was also on the other end of the political spectrum with subcalypsonian lyrics, always using him in their lyrics. Among them was Kokoro Wedding, Arang Dongla Wedding, with the words, "I want a wedding, a Dongla wedding, I want to see Sat Maharaj frowning." Among things that he described to begonias as lazy people who don't want to work that he hosted on television. During the program that he hosted on television, he secured a TV and radio station license. He also was a publisher of the Blast and Bond newspaper. One man single-handedly represented a fate, a culture, and a religion. Fearlessly. We salute you today, Mr. Sat Maharaj. Again, we extend our condolences to his family. There are so many people who admired his work around the world.
Jagrati as they continue to pay homage. Tune in to Radio Jagrati as they continue to pay homage and tribute to him. Programming has been changed around since the passing. This morning early in the community is encouraged to fall in. And the community is encouraged to fall in and partake in the special programming. Open 66201778 is the telephone number if you'd like to call in.
सुबह शाम बोल बंदे कृष्णा कृष्णा सुबह शाम बोल बंदे कृष्णा 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 जो तू भी जाना चाहे जीवन की कृष्णा जो तू भी जाना चाहे जीवन की कृष्णा सुबह शाम बोल बंदे कृष्णा कृष्णा कृष्णा
You must remember, under his leadership, and build modernizing the 42 schools and build 5 secondary schools as well as 12 early childhood education centers. And was instrumental in the observation of Fagwa and was instrumental in the creation of the Indian Arrival Holiday as an annual celebration on the island. In the early days, those of you remember, it's when the PNM used to call Cowshed School, Cowpen, and Cowshed. That it was the same model year after year that turned out students year after year. Brilliant. I also believe it's a model that Asha bought Muslim schools when they started building Muslim schools in the country. Like him or hate him, but he was indeed a fighter, a visionary. It's great to see so many coming out of the woodwork and celebrating his life and paying tribute. I'm so happy to see that. On that note, I want to say, we should not wait to say thank you to others like Satmaraj. And I would like to single out the former Prime Minister of the Tanayan Republic, Mr. or Dr. Vasudev Pandey. It's only when we lose leaders like this, we would become what's the feelings of kindness and goodness towards those individuals. But when they are alive, Vasudev Pandey is one that needs to be recognized while he's alive, respected while he's alive. Showers of affection and love for his contribution to the struggle of the sugar workers and all of Trinidad and Tobago. We love you here in Caribbean Street, I am Shatana Radio. And we will not wait until it's too late to say so. Again, we pray that God Almighty make it easy for his family and his company, followers and friends to accept this great loss. We continue on the program coming up at 12:30, a special sit-down interview that we had with the Republic of Guyana. Prime Minister of the Republic of Guyana, that's coming up. The Honorable Moses Nakamutu, that's coming up. And he was in town a couple weeks to 1:30. When we had on the program on that Saturday, Dr. Bhatt, former Prime President, and Dr. Bhatt, we dragged you, and we had to preempt the interview, and we recorded him. So it's a delayed week of the interview, but we didn't want to skip 1 week because, you know, political, we didn't want to run, you know, political interviews week after week again. Nandalal, we had Sajadeo and half. So we took a break, but coming up in a little bit, we have the half world interview. Please spread the word, is coming up with your host, Richard Aziz. You're listening to Shabdan Radio with your host, Richard Aziz. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening this Saturday morning. Saturday afternoon. Cold one indeed in Toronto. We're sitting at -2 degrees right now. With gray skies indeed. But we promised to bring a ray of sunshine and warmth onto the program. See what a Shabdan Radio, 7:70 a.m. And again, to listen by telephone, 647-557-1017 and also at www.shabdanradio.com.
Good day. My name is Sarah Singh, and I'm a member of Provincial Parliament for the riding of Brampton Centre. I'm also the Deputy Leader of Ontario's Official Opposition. I'm proud to announce that I've introduced a private member's bill to proclaim the month of August as Caribbean Heritage Month here in the province of Ontario. I'd like to take this opportunity to invite our Caribbean community to join us on November 28th. Between 2 and 6 p.m. for a reception and presentation of the bill. To RSVP to this event, please email us at connect@ndp.ca. Thank you very much, and I look forward to hosting you all for this historic moment.
Yes. Superstars powering the total soca and comedy Christmas concerts Saturday, December 7th at the Mirage Banquet Hall, featuring live performances by Crazy, Baron, Moses Revolution, and hosted by Kenneth Super, backed by Moses Revolution, and hosted by Kenneth Super Smash.
My father was an electrician for 40 years. His first shopping was when I was.
DJ Pop the Get Rhythm with DJ Vanblatt, Love Rider, and DJ Pop the Get Rhythm Squad, also featuring Soca Man Gunny, Comedian Fat Man George, and SKF. For birthdays and group packages, call or text Nigel at 647-782-0997. Early bird tickets only $40, advance tickets $50, limited tables only for groups of 10. Early bird tables just $500, in advance $600. Get your table fast before they are gone. Doors open at 8 p.m. Live performances start at 9:30 sharp. Over $2,000 in door prizes. Food and drinks on sale. Crazy meets Baron. Hosted by Kenneth Super Sad. Don't miss it.
Number one Indian astrologer, spiritual healer in Canada. If you're facing problems in marriages, relationships, divorced, love, or childless problems, divorce due to jealousy and greed, contact Pandit Vamshi. Are you in financial crisis or suffering from long-lasting illnesses? Don't worry, as our astrologer will help you to solve your problems and give you prosperity in your life. Call on Pandit Vamshi for an appointment. 647-765-9666. He removes negativity and gives you protection for your life. Pandit Vamshi is an expert in spiritual healing, palm and face reading, and to transform your life into a bright future. Why wait? Call for an appointment. 647-765-9666. That's 647-765-9666. Call now. Pandit Vamshi, located at 56 Dundas Street West, Mississauga.
This is Richard Aziz, inviting you to join me Saturday the 16th of November for a special interview with the Honorable Moses Nagamutu, Prime Minister of the Republic of Guyana. That's Saturday the 16th from 1 to 3, a sit-down interview with the Honorable Moses Nagamutu, Prime Minister of the Republic of Guyana, on Shabdan Radio 770 AM WTOR, and listen live at www.shabdanradio.com.
$1,000 to commission to study. Why pay over $15,000 in commission to sell your home?
I just sold my house with Haro Shepperton and saved over $16,000.
Now sell your home with Haro Shepperton for only $9.95.
Not only is the service at Sky Realty amazing, you save money.
Between show client satisfaction, I personally oversee every transaction.
Call Haro Shepperton from Sky Realty at 647-688-4276 to sell your home for only $9.95.
WTOR, welcome. 770 WTOR, welcome, welcome. If you're just joining us, again, we have been promoting in a couple of weeks now the interview with the Honorable Moses Nakamutu, Prime Minister of the Republic of Guyana, which we're about to share with you right now. However, just want to let you know that this was recorded a couple of weeks back. He was in town. At the same time, the former president, Dr. Barachaki, was here, and he was not able to have both on the same program due to lack of time. We skipped a week so that we would get back to the program on track with our entertainment and music, etc. And today we would like to share that interview with you right now. So please help us spread the word. You can listen by simply dialing 647-557-1017. Also www.shabnamradio.com.
Well, as promised, the interview with the Honorable Moses Nakamutu, the Prime Minister of the Republic of Guyana. First, we'd like to say welcome back again to Shaban Radio, no strangers to the airways here, and welcome to Toronto, Prime Minister.
Well, thank you very much, Richard, and I very willingly, gladly accepted your invitation, because I still remember, fresh in my mind, the very vibrant interview I had with you in 2015 when we were here in the preparatory period for those elections.
But I must say, I always feel a kinship to yourself because of your openness and your willingness. There's no pre-planned questions. You allow me to speak and ask the important questions. So thank you very much for agreeing to this interview. Let's get straight into it. You know, I don't want to talk about the GCOM yet. I don't even want to talk about the balance of the vote and how it went with the Chandas affair. I wanted to first, I think most Guyanese, what would be on their mind is that the images coming out of Guyana with the flood and the breach of the seawall causing tremendous flooding and destruction of land and livestock. What is your government, if you could paint a picture, what the current situation? I saw some images coming in out of Region 5. If you could give us a little update on the flood and what is being done.
First of all, I'd like to commend you for your fantastic knowledge of the current situation and what's taking place in Guyana otherwise. It shows your heart is in Guyana as well as in the region. As I was passing through Trinidad yesterday morning, your hostess gave me a copy of one of your papers, and I need more. Said he asked me if I wanted more, because you have several newspapers. This is the cabinet attendant. And I said, you know, sometimes you would like to read one newspaper dealing with the bad news. Because I scanned the headline and it says, Trinidad battered by heavy waves. And subsequently I read the report saying that the northeast of Trinidad had been battered, even affecting tourism and your famous seaside resort, Maracas Bay. And we had just left Guyana, where in the last 3 days there were severe flooding of some of the seacoast, Atlantic seacoast area, particularly West Barbados, East Coast Demerara, and West Coast Demerara. So we have been alerting people in the last 2 weeks that they should be prepared for high tides and that they should take all precautionary measures to fortify themselves, because if you have a breach in one of the sea defense, in one of the areas, they call it the Danzig area, and we had been emergency work, risk-taped boulders, and to actually recreate a new city fence with heavy boulders, huge boulders. So the second surge of the high tide came at a time when the bridge had not been completely sealed. And so we had to dig a secondary canal to accommodate the excess water. There's an excess canal that is called the Bellamy Canal. But we had to go beyond that inland to do that and to make a secondary fortification. Farmers came in, threw in their tractors, threw in their So as it is at the moment, the bridge is being sealed, the damage is being minimized. In any case, the government has offered some relief package. We are not calling compensation, we are calling it a one-off grant to help them to resuscitate their farmlands, those that had been damaged. But at the same time, we had voted on Tuesday, and this is the Thursday now, and I was chairing the cabinet, and an emergency package came to the cabinet, and they entertained the memorandum for in excess of $1 billion to retain additional contractors and to bring in boulders from Suriname, and therefore we could access these boulders nearby. So every effort is being made to deal with the situation and to give adequate information to the farming communities that have been affected and to residents.
You mentioned farmers and you hold closely and passionately you feel about the livestock and the farmers and their families. What would you say when closure of the critics would agree that the closure of the cane estates, which will maintain the dredges, and now they are left unattended, or are they left unattended, which will back up the water flow, the natural water flow in the region, being that it's below sea levels in some areas, what action is the government taking or have taken to make sure that the waterways are maintained or cleared and dredged?
Well, Richard, let me tell you this. It is not true that the closure of factories created the sugar estates had created neglect of the drainage system and the waterways that had been maintained by Gaisuko. Coca, take to know it 2 days ago. For some reason, I'm not imputing sabotage. That may be possible in some cases. But the coca flow broke into a place called, and water started to flow into a place called Stuartville on the west coast of Demerara. Immediately, I was on my phone structure addressing the Minister of Public Infrastructure. His name is David Hankerson, and I'm sending a message. David, what? Tell me what's happening. And I'm about to get your plane. And he replied instantly, oh, Gaisuko has it under control. So I said, on the way to the airport, I'm keeping abreast of this development. Gaisuko, the drainage system, had taken over that area, the drainage system in the west, headed to the sugar and seeds area. And it was maintaining the system. You have naturally the Gaisuko absorbing the drainage facilities that had been there before, even in the areas where the estates are no longer functioning, and the natural cultivation areas, and the National Drainage and Irrigation Authority, NDIA, has also absorbed areas, responsibility for all areas, including the sugar areas. So, on that score, I believe it is not true to say that those areas have been abandoned. And remember, not all the estates have been closed. The grinding estates, the three grinding estates, are not areas that routinely are affected. They have the floods. They are being looked after. The coaches have the conservancy. The EC coach is the conservancy. The water conservancy that is being maintained. But what has happened is that the new phenomena of tidal waves. You're having more flood waters from the sea, not inland waters. Look, in 2005, we had a flood from the entire East Coast and the whole of Georgetown. We were up knee deep in the water. No one has ever, under the previous government, established a commission of inquiry to inquire what had happened. We know for sure that that didn't come from the sea. And periodically, for several years, the city of Georgetown was flooded out completely. People literally used boats to get into areas. That would be due to neglect. The then government, the PPP, in control, had neglected the city. The garbage piled up, the canals and the drainage system blocked up. Some businessmen were guilty as well for impoundering land in adjoining canal areas. And so that flood continued for several years. Look at Georgetown now. When it is referred to as the garbage city, now some levels of beauty is returning to what used to be the beautiful city, and not the garden city, and not the garbage city. The government in action or action can help, even though we are 5 feet below sea level. If you maintain the internal drainage system, you can get your results. The opposite, the PPP, now in the opposition, it's a party I've been associated with for 50 years of my life. It says that it controls 2/3 of the local government bodies. It controls 6 of the 10 administrative regions. But these regions don't cooperate with the government. They have a budget, they have money, but they are determined to not to do things for which they have been elected because they are obsessed with making the government look bad. No, we are not in politics to make anyone look bad. That's not what politicians should be doing. That's not what statespeople should be doing. We are there to help people, to provide services for people. And that is part of the problems that we are facing in Guyana, that you have an interplay of politics in the social life of people. And so that what may be explained at one time as a negligence by the government, when you analyze it, it has to do with certain contributory factors that shows that exploitation of the weaknesses in our society.
The election coming up, we see that the date has been set for March 2nd, also 2020. Also, with GCOM getting ready, in a state of readiness, we're hoping to have it ready by that date. There are a number of occurrences, suggestively, issues that would affect the results of the election. What would you say to those who accuse your government of involving yourself with GCOM, with the process that they're undertaking now, which ID card issue being issued? I know they're trying to play up on the list, but now I understand they're going wrong with blue horns, asking people to come. If they don't get their ID cards, they would not be able to collect any oil money that might be coming to them. So I just wanted to ask you if you could address that rumor for us.
I was informed that as many as 25,000 persons have not uplifted their ID card. They have been registered way back in 2008. Your now registered out there, your audience out there are reasonable-minded people. They have common sense. They can think these things out. If during 2008 to now, someone has 10 years ago, someone has registered in your name appear on the voters list in 2015, it appeared on the voters list in 2016 for local government elections, appeared on the local voters list in 2018, but these ID cards have never been uplifted. did it mean that someone else is for these people? Why some persons were voting for these people? Why are the names there? And why would anyone be objecting to the Elections Commission, which is charged constitutionally with the responsibility to hold, supervise, and control elections, going imploring people, street by street, imploring people, if you have not collected your ID cards, please come. These cards are available. Uplift the card. What is so wrong? Every citizen in Guyana, 14 years and above, by law, is required to put his or her name on a national register. It is from that national register that those who have arrived at 18 and above would be extracted to make the voters list. Okay, so you have a voters list, or you have a national registration list, and you did the photographs, and you have 25,000 cards before you. Whose cards are these? Are these people dead? Are these people in the country? Are they moved from one area to holiday area? Have they moved from one area to the next area? You could only know this if you undertake a process of house-to-house education. I've seen, before I left, I was wondering, I said, but today is a national holiday, Monday. And I'm in my house, and I'm listening to the loudspeaker in Georgetown. People working on the streets, because they know people will be home on a holiday, begging them to come for the cards. Now, I can't see another reason why you would not want to go for your cards if you're available. And I cannot see the logic. I cannot see the common sense of anyone saying they are trying to remove these names to prevent people from voting.
On that note, educate me if I'm wrong. Had it not been an issue that was dealt with by the court that you cannot or should not be deprived of voting if you did not have an ID card?
The court said that someone whose name is on the list, the person's name cannot be struck out without a cause. Not having someone is on the list, someone object to the list and say, this is my neighbor. Objection. That neighbor has died. I'm putting an objection. Reference. They may now then wish to cross. Reference the General Register. The GRO, the General Registrar's Office. And to ascertain whether that person is alive. If you have credible information from the GRO that this person had died, they issued a death certificate. Why are you going to take that name off? If you have credible information, Richard has been living Aziz is living in Toronto, has been living there in Toronto for the last 20 years, 30 years, perhaps more. Why would Richard's name not be subject to elimination from a list? So you don't have what the Chief Justice has said is that you don't need an ID card to vote. You can go there and somebody, that happened in a case before, three persons identify you and say, we know him. He doesn't have a card, but his name is on the list, but we know that fella. And we can ascertain that he is the person who's on the list. You may be allowed to vote. You're allowed to cast a ballot of a certain type. But this allegation that the Elections Commission is about to really eliminate names is what raises this factor of suspicion. Why is the PPP, which has been in the vanguard of the struggle for free and fair elections, which has campaigned, I was in the forefront of that campaign, against a non-existent person registering at addresses? When you go to the address, you find horses grazing in the place where the persons are supposed to be living. The trail of the missing voters. Why is a party that had a history of fighting for electoral democracy, fighting for empowerment of people and their right to vote, why is it championing say a cause that is a lost cause. Say the people who are suspicious of being non-existent or who might have died are still entitled to have their names on the voters list. It raises suspicion.
I'm moving forward, but I just don't know what I would think that GCOM would have addressed this issue. During the years that they're leading up to the elections. But I thank you for clearing that up with us and for us.
You know why it's supposed to be? Because the existing list, the list is supposed to be periodically updated. And in 2018, you had a house-to-house registration. In 2008, the house-to-house registration, on which the basis for the the voters list was used in the subsequent election. 2008 was the last list. 10 years have passed. The law says the list shall be renewed after every 10 years. So last year, money was voted in the National Assembly to be able to have a new house-to-house registration, to be able to have a new national register. So the question is, you want to be able to know that you update the information, the data of every person who would claim to be living in Guyana and who would be claiming to be eligible to have the name on the national register and henceforth on the preliminary voters list, so that you could not have used a list that had been there before and automatically baptize it into a present list. You have to have the Elections Commission agreed to a new voters legislation in fact, registration, and in fact, it was this PPP that had been prepared had it not lost the election. They would have had a new house-to-house registration of voters. So I think they were committed to that. So I think that this is a red herring being brought to add confusion to a political situation where you are trying to inform that Guyanese know that the process is credible. Nobody goes into an election if you don't think that the process is credible. Getting a proper voter list is part of that credible process you're trying to construct.
Just wanted to ask you, leading up to the election, again, this is in the hearts and the minds of everybody. In the past, we have seen other regimes in the past, and you were a member of the PPP, I'm sure, would have seen ballot boxes floating after the election, and there were accusations of the then government. And in fact, it was suggested that your current president of Canada was the point man when it comes to re-election in the past. But what you would see with your government, and what are you and your party, or the government, I should say, in power, doing to ensure a free and fair election?
Richard, they have an old saying, my preference to put in is in the meeting. I was minister. When last I was in the PPP, I was minister of local government. In addition to being Minister of Information and Regional Development, I was removed from that position after, and it was, I was removed just after, before Kerry Jackson died, the year before, a few months before, an allegation was made that I was getting too popular, because I'm a great grassroots person. I'm mixed with the people, I walk with their feet, I listen to their ears, I speak with them out, and I speak with their hearts. I've always been in positions who would make 2-3 hours, 4 hours of speeches in the National Assembly without reading from notes or reading my speeches, because I speak from my heart. What is in my heart? I could dictate that, I could correct that, I could apologize for it if I have said something wrong. But if I'm reading a script, it's sung to me always contrived and fake. I have been as a minister since 1990. Witnessed 5-6 when I was removed. Witnessed that under the PPP, my government, my party, for 20 years there have been no local government elections. I've seen while I was with the PPP, David Granger, one man walking with placard before the office of the president calling for local government elections. Can I table the motion of no confidence in 2014 against the PPP? Instead of Ramatar, Rogan Parliament motion and avoiding a debate on my no confidence motion, he should have conceded the local government elections. And he probably should have been in government. Malinger was not asking for national elections. He was calling for local government elections. As soon as Malinger came into government, elections that have not been held in 20 years, he held them in 2016. Didn't matter who won, local democracy, who got more seats than who. But local democracy was allowed to flourish in Guyana. The empowerment of people in their own communities, in their own neighborhood, in their own municipalities. It didn't happen. 2 years after, he didn't wait. He should allow the 4 years to pass. He should allow some of the council to be redundant and set up what the PPP set up as the interim management council. He held the then he couldn't have elections. He held elections in 2018. The PPP said, yeah, we won them by a landslide, two-thirds majority. Didn't matter who won. But the question is, what was happening? That was free, fair, and credible local government elections. Had been held under whom? David Granger. The man, Jack Dale, said, rig the elections. But not only, here's a case where Jack Dale did not hold elections for 20 years. It didn't give him a moral right to raise the issue. It didn't give him a moral right to raise the issue against what had happened in the past. Even though, as I acknowledge that we had elections, I'm not going to use what fraudulent in the past. But I am not going to use my own omission against not holding election as a weapon against someone whom you allege had done something in the past that was unacceptable. Then we created four new tongues in Mabaruma, in Bartika, in Latam, in Madia, and four new tongues. The township are now responsible to deliver services to the people. The people in the hinterland don't have to come for a birth certificate on the coast or a passport on the coast. These are happening now in the region. We have created six new radio stations under my administration. I am in charge of that. Because as Prime Minister, I am in charge of public information as one of my responsibilities. These radio stations are open in the hinterland in indigenous affairs, indigenous regions. People now can communicate and understand what's happening in the country. We are linking the coast with the interior. And we are allowing indigenous communities to have programs in their own indigenous languages. This is the year of the United Nations year of indigenous people's languages. We have created dictionaries for people in the interior to understand their own languages. To communicate in their own languages. We have now provided internet service connectivity to 62 of these communities in the interior. Everywhere we handed them the captains, the two chows, and the senior counselors. We gave them tablets where they are now linked free of cost to a service provided by the government to make them connected to the World Wide Web. They have international connectivity. We have energized the grassroots. We have energized the society. And our record, the same David Granger, his record of having facilitated free and fair and credible elections cannot be impugned, cannot be questioned. And therefore, I have this confidence that Granger knows what he wants for Guyana. He has a good team. He and I worked together. The other day, he was in an interview, he said that he was very happy to have me as his prime minister.
Prime Minister, I want to take this opportunity to thank you. And I know your birthday is coming up later this month, so I want to wish you early blessed birthday and hope you go forward with good health to your loving wife. I must say, I want to say thank you to your loving wife for having the patience to sit with our CMT while we conduct this interview. In closing, anything you would like to say to National Women?
Well, thank you very much, Richard. I want to thank you very much for the patience, the calm with which you conducted your interview, and also the arsenal of your knowledge about Guyana. It shows that you are a very great broadcaster who understands the subject, your area, and as well understand the subject that you're interviewing. I'm glad you mentioned my wife, and I want to just in a half minute say this, that she has been the pillar of strength for me. I've known her from primary school when I was just 13 years or thereabout. And then I met her back at college reunion in 1966 at the Diwali Fair, and she was crowned the Diwali Queen. And we sung our first, she asked me that we should sing a duet. And I did from the movie Sangam. It would have been the only Indian song I knew then. But I tried the best as I could. And we sung it in Hindi. And we moved forward since then.